Welcome to the show, Justin Pate. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Simon. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm good. It's been a while. How's life treating you?
Very good. Honored to be back here a second time. So life is good. Very, very busy, but in a very good way.
So you're back home now, I guess?
Yeah, got home a couple days ago from a busy workshop run, and it was really exciting. Lots of videos and workshops, and had a Rapids 2 live event in Montreal. Home for 2 weeks, and then heading out with the family this time. It's nice that sometimes my wife and daughter get to come with me. So a few days in LA right before ISA, and we have our first ever ISA rap experience in the Rapid Suit booth. So we have a rap training contest, which is super cool.
Rap training contest. I would like to talk more about that.
Yep.
So before I have to ask you, how many days of the year do you travel?
I guess I travel a lot, but I think I added up this year and I'm away about 5 months out of the year, 5.5 months. So
wow.
Almost half the year, but you have to understand, I've really dialed into that European vacation mentality. So
what does that mean?
It means that you take 4 to 5 weeks off in the summer to be with your family. So, you know, when I talk about being on the road, I mean, part of that is being, you know, my wife is half Thai. So we're going to Thailand this year to be with her family and stuff like that. So, you know, we're there for a few weeks. I'm actually teaching in Japan and Hong Kong this year. So we'll be there for So we'll be there for 2 weeks total. So my wife and daughter will be with me. So, you know, out of that time that I'm on the road, you know, a good portion of that, my wife and daughter are with me too, which is super special.
How do you deal with time zones?
You don't.
Because I mean, you're traveling all over. That's gonna disturb you a little bit.
Yeah, it does. But you know, I mean, I kind of joked when, you know, my daughter was young, or anyone who has, you know, kids can understand, when your baby's, you know, 6 months old, you really don't get much sleep. So, you know, jet lag is kind of like having kids. So you kind of in your head.
Tell me about it.
Well, yeah, you know, exactly. So jet lag is just kind of, you know, you're sleepy, and you know, I'm teaching, you know, I just landed in Dallas at 7 p.m. and the next morning I'm teaching a class at 9 a.m. and for my body clock, you know, did I sleep or did much? No, but you kind of get used to doing things tired, you know.
Just go with the flow.
Yeah, I mean, in your head, you kind of just put yourself immediately in that time zone. So if it's 7 p.m., I just try to make it in my head I'm 7 p.m. and that kind of helps a lot. The only time I got really screwed up when I was in Australia and I went from Perth to Adelaide. In between, I did a workshop in Perth, then I was going to Adelaide, then I was going to Melbourne, and they had a half-hour time difference. Totally threw me off. But I don't know why it threw me off so much. My wife was just like, what time is it for you? And I'm like, 4:30. I'm like, what time is it for you? She's like, 8. I'm like, but that doesn't make sense, you know?
So it's those perks of life.
Yeah. Yeah, but again, I mean, the jet lag and stuff like that, and the time zones. You know, I never take my watch off of Amsterdam time, so I always know when my wife is getting up and my daughter's going to school and stuff like that. So that actually really keeps me grounded, to be honest with you. So
someone told me you need to drink a lot of water.
Yeah, drink a lot of water. Coffee definitely helps, and there's water in coffee, I suppose. You know.
That's a good way to look at it.
It is. So yeah, it's just, you know, and I try to exercise, even though, you know, I'm not as nearly as fit as I used to be, but you know, try to exercise and just try to get sleep. You know, I mean, I don't party as much as I used to. I don't drink much anymore, which helps a lot. I mean, I think if I drank and partied and did this, there would be no way to survive, you know. So it's a balance, you know. It's a, you know, but again, it's worth it because I love what I do, and you know, my wife and daughter are happy and things are good. So I mean, it balances for sure.
What have you been up to since we last chat? I know I've seen a lot, but what's new? What's going on?
A couple of things. And the one that I'm really most excited about is something that we've been trying to launch on the Rapid Suit for quite some time. And we almost got it launched by last year in the spring. And it's a program I call Green Equals Green. And so this program is really close to my heart in the sense that it's trying to show how to make the rap industry a little greener. In the sense of install and, you know, workspaces and all that kind of stuff. But that you could also, by going greener, you can actually make more money and more time. And we're really close to launching it last year. And my marketing woman, who's awesome, just went into labor early. So we kind of lost her in terms of work early on. Everything worked out and healthy, happy baby, which is great. But it just kind of shelved the program until this year. So the idea is just, it's a pretty deep program. And that I hope, you know, that hopefully by the end is probably like a 30-part video series.
That's great.
Yeah. And it's just, I wanted to be as in depth as possible. And we did the first five, about 2 weeks ago. We're having another five in May and probably another five in June. So it's going to be spread out through the whole year. And it's just, you know, I've been fortunate enough to travel and go around the industry and just to kind of go to different countries and stuff like that. And an overall theme, other than, you know, people loving what they do, is if I look at wrap shops and I go into the back of the shop, I mean, the trash bins are always overflowing. A lot of shops are using pretty toxic cleaners. You know, you walk into shops and you could smell that they're pretty toxic, you know. And it's just a, you know, at the end of the day, is it a safe work environment as it should be? No. Are the trash bills really high? Is a lot of stuff going into the landfill that probably shouldn't or should go in a different way? Yeah. So it just something I thought, you know what, let's come up with a program and really teach people what backing papers are recyclable, what materials are technically greener than other materials, you know, and just really educate people to that, because I don't think there's really not a lot of that in the industry, to be honest with you.
You have a better understanding of the suppliers, and you get to maybe see things prior to them being released. And you know, probably you have a lot of secrecy upon us. You probably can't say that much, but are there suppliers working on, that you know, working on environmentally friendly material that is usable for the wrapping industry? Because I've tried a couple of materials that, but they're far away from being usable in real life.
Yeah, I mean, I've been over the years. I mean, there's definitely manufacturers that I've tested material for, and some have made it to the public light, and some haven't. You know, but I mean, like for example, you know, one of the videos that I'm doing in May next month is breaking down what manufacturers are coming out with PVC-free film. You know, and like Avery has one, Orful has a few. I'm actually interviewing three interviews with 3M at the ISA show, talking about their. You know, 3M seems really focused on that as well. You know, so they do. They are starting to come out with PVC-free films. You know, the backing paper, again, is the big thing where, you know, the silicone backing papers are not recyclable. But, you know, again, there's companies in England and Canada now that are actually taking those silicone-based backing papers, and they take the silicone out and then they recycle the paper, which is fairly labor-intensive right now. But, you know, there is a focus going that way. So are green, quote-unquote, green materials better to use? I don't know. I mean, IJ480 is pretty remarkable. I mean, I think 3M has come out with a product where if you put it in the sun, it doesn't really get too hot. It's conformable. It's multi-purpose, which is great. You know, they've actually focused that into their calendar films, which is nice. You know, Avery has those, you know, PVC-free laminations as well and all that kind of stuff. So the material is more durable. It lasts longer. It's, you know, better for the landfill because it's PVC-free. Is it better to work with? Not all the time. They're harder to cut because they're kind of more like polyurethane. So they do have a shadow for sure, and they obviously are a little more expensive than PVC free films or PVC films, but it's about educating your customer. You know, I know a lot of companies like Google and Coke and Apple, you know, they really focus, you know, they kind of seek out those materials because it reduces their carbon footprint, you know, so for them it's more cost beneficial to use a PVC free film than not, you know. So, but that's, I mean, that's what I kind of want to talk about in Green Equals Green, where if you can, you know, educate your customer, you can say, well, you know, you're paying more for this film, but on the back end, you can do this as a write-off, or you can be part of this program and you're actually going to save more money. So that's the whole point of my doing this program, is not, because when people hear green, they just think it's going to cost more money or it's just going to take up more time, but it's actually quite the opposite, where you can actually profit from these things, or you can actually create more time instead of jumping on your trash bin out back. You can reduce how much goes in that trash bin and you'd be smarter about it, which means that you're focused more on install than your trash bin, you know?
So it's a more hands-on project, right? Green on green. We're going to show more hands-on tips and ideas.
Yeah. I mean, even last week I did I've always put my backing paper under the car in the videos and stuff like that. And I always kind of focused on having one trash bag at the end of the day. But now I'm like, okay, I have one bag for plastic. I have one bag for paper that follows me around like a puppy dog. If I'm working in a shop that has four or five cars being wrapped, all the backing paper goes for all the cars goes under one central location in the wrap shop. So at the end of the day, that backing paper is rolled up in one tiny little roll and that goes in the trash bin as opposed to going into, you know, eight trash bags, you know? So those are little stuff like that. But I mean,
that's an awesome idea.
You know, it worked. I mean, it's funny because the video that we did, I did a testimonial with the lead installer from Car Obsidy, and he actually saw me do it in the video a month before I launched these videos, and he actually incorporated Car Obsidy without us even talking. And I came back, and the first thing he said to me when I came into to film about a week and a half ago, he's like, dude, I started doing that backing paper pile in the middle of your shop. And he's like, dude, it saved us a half hour per day of going out to the trash every time. And I was like, are you serious, dude? And he's like, dude, we're just more focused. The workspace space stays cleaner. And it's not only just for installing, but it's for production. Imagine, you know, I mean, how much space does backing paper take up in your trash bag? A lot, you know, but if you lay it flat, all your backing paper throughout the day and just roll it up in a tight bundle, it saves time. You're not spending all that time, you know? So it's just trying to think of time. I always try to do what I call the black and white. So if you do the black and white, you kind of add up, okay, how much time am I spending doing this versus this? Could I do it in a different way to save more time, reduce the waste and stuff like that? And so if you start doing that, you're like, ah. And I think a perfect example of that is I did an overview of Yellow Tools and how they run their facility. And it was, you know,
that's gonna be sweet.
It is, you know, and that's actually a video that came out about a week and a half ago on the Rap Institute. And I filmed that when I was there in January, and Michael let me go around. And it was really fascinating to see how those guys, I mean, he does the lean, you know, mentality, which, you know, he's very, you know, conscious of the environment, but obviously very profitable because, you know, they do really well. But I mean, it's really inspiring to see, you know, within the rap industry, someone being that conscious on all levels and hitting all the sweet spots where, you know, they actually buying a new machine might be greener than keeping your old one that you paid off, you know, because it's using less electricity. You get more volume and turnaround and stuff like that. So when you do the black and white, you're like, oh, well, actually, let's get rid of that old machine and buy this new machine. And this new machine has a higher resale value in 5 years. So actually, we just made more money by buying a new machine, and it's better for the environment. So it's interesting when you start thinking about that stuff, and oftentimes you don't.
And something that's used worldwide, I mean, it could be applied by all shops.
Oh, 100%. And that's that's what I'm trying to show, that, you know, hopefully there's, out of the 30 videos, you know, at least 10 resonate with what you do, whether you're just a freelance installer. And, you know, part of it is too showing cleaners. You know, I mean, I go to a lot of shops and people are using pretty hardcore cleaners, not wearing protective gloves or respirators, you know, and, you know, that can be really harmful for you. And it's also, you know, those type of cleaners are bad for the environment. So I show different cleaners that are maybe just as effective, but, you know, they're not bad for you and they're not bad to breathe. And, you know, you recycle your plastic gloves and all that kind of stuff, and just trying to come up with a different processing that is just as effective, but not as bad for the environment or yourself. And I think that's one of the biggest things. I used to, in my workshops, teach when I talked about cleaning, I would say, you know, how many people, you know, who paints cars, you know, a lot of people would raise their hand, and I would say, how many of those people who paint cars are crazy? And everyone would raise their hand, you know, and why are, you know, people who paint cars, at least, you know, in America, are crazy is because, you know, these guys are working with hardcore solvents year after year, and they're not wearing gloves or respirators. And over time that makes them crazy, you know? And well, it's, but in our industry, you know, when I first started rapping, you think, you know, in 1996 in New York City, I would go to a job site, and these were only pure solvent printers back in the day. I used to pull the backing paper and my nose hairs would burn and my eyes would start to water. And I thought, this is crazy that I'm working with this type of stuff. So I used to wear an organic respirator when I wrapped, you know. These people were printing in non-ventilated spaces, and they're in there all day. And, you know, it's just, so it's just trying to show, you know, try to make your space greener, try to make your work processing greener and handle different materials. Because at the end of the day, you're really, you know, not as much as you used to, but you're still being exposed to a lot of pretty harsh.
I don't know how many times I've thought about this, because at our shop, we do have good ventilation and all, but you get so used to the smell that,
yeah,
sometimes customers come in and say, oh man, it's so strong here. And you're so used to the smell that you don't really notice it.
Yeah.
And it's hard because people get used to working a certain way, and just trying to change a mentality, it takes time. It takes effort. So
it does. But I mean, I guess, you know, what I saw with Javi from Car Up City, it actually, his pivot was pretty quick. You know, I mean, even with the cleaners, you know, try not to use, I mean, for the longest time, I used to use white vinegar. I mean, when I started rapping in 1996, the only general cleaner I used up until 2007 was white vinegar. And then I would clean with isopropyl alcohol. And then, you know, you move to Europe and you get these all-in-one cleaners, and they're great, but they're not great. You know, if you look at the label, it doesn't look like it's pretty great, mm-hmm. You know? So, you know, maybe just showing little, I guess with this program, I'm not trying to do like a complete overhaul of your shop. I'm just trying to be like, you know, maybe change your cleaners a little bit, or change the way you handle your waste, or just be aware that maybe this backing paper is recyclable and maybe this one's not. And those little tweaks can actually be really subtle, but at the end of the day, they can actually really affect your bottom line in terms of profits and how much you're spending on cleaners. My goal is to reduce how much you spend on cleaners by 20 to 30% and reduce your waste bill by 50%, you know, and those kind of little subtle things, it's not going to mean you're going to buy an airplane, but it means that eventually you're going to buy an airplane.
It's something that also the industry itself needs to, the suppliers at least needs to tag along, because you know how it is. If you want their warranty, they you need to use their cleaner, that material, yada, 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 yada. So it's a start for a big push, I guess.
Yeah, and I think you know, the laws are changing. I mean, I think, you know, years ago, probably in 2012, you know, they had to start taking lead out of the material, and people saw that the material changed a little bit. Sometimes the opacity got a little problem issue because they had to take certain ingredients out because the environmental laws are changing. And, you know, frankly, like in California, a lot of the laws are changing, and pretty soon they're going to have to start taking PVC out of the film anyway. So that's why a lot of the companies are going that way. But again, you know, what you said earlier is, you know, sometimes taking that PVC out is not necessarily, doesn't mean the performance gets better, but maybe it does, you know, and that's just what I want to educate installers about, is the material hopefully will change, and just how you can change and approach that differently. It's an interesting time for sure, because I think, you know, as this, I want the industry obviously to grow because I love it, you know, and I'm very involved in it. But if it doesn't get better in terms of green and awareness, then it's not going to grow. And it needs to.
What do you see as the biggest challenge?
The liners are a big thing. Because you have to imagine in the processing of making the material, the amount of liners that are being used is phenomenal. You know, just in the process of making the material, then once it gets to the cost involved in that. So that's a big one. I think also just kind of getting the material so that it's people aren't using as much ink or overusing ink, different cleaners, different processing, you know, and understand, you know, also selling the benefits of what are the benefits of wrapping. Sometimes wrapping something actually protects the paint and, you know, keeps you from having to paint your car again. So that's actually a green thing, you know, or making your paint job last for a long time, or adding to the resale value of it by wrapping it with PPF. You know, there's so many things that in a way, if you look at it and do the right analysis, you know, wrapping something is greener in a way. I mean, it sounds perverted, but it actually can be.
No, I get the idea. I get it completely.
So yeah, I'm excited about the program. I mean, so far it's been a really good reception, a lot of good feedback being even just like the liner pile. So I'm hoping, you know, again, it's free. I don't have any hidden agenda here. I mean, I think you asked me earlier, you know, is this something I'm going to monetize? Not at all. You know, I'm just putting this time in, you know, just for my own benefit. My whole ultimate goal, to be honest with you, is I'm already talking with, you know, groups that handle green programs for companies worldwide, you know, just to kind of give them a green stamp. And I'm hoping that if I can create a program with these people and make it official, that hopefully within a year or something like that, if you watch all the videos on the Wrap Institute and your answer questionnaires and you submit a video of your shop and how you've incorporated these practices into your shop, then you would be a Wrap Institute green equals green certified company, you know. And that would obviously be good for the environment, but also it might be good for you in terms of, you know, that might set your shop up from different shops in your community, where people might be like, you know, that shop's greener than this shop, and we'd like to go with them, you know. So that's kind of also too, you know, the whole point of me, of this program, is green equals green, you know, which is obviously green American wise is, you know, dollars. So the idea is that, you know, by going green, you make more money. And that's my point. I hope that comes across.
Now I get it. Now I understand it.
Yeah. So, I mean, so that's maybe I'm, you know, when I first started saying green equals green, people were confused, and I kind of want the confusion as a hook. Mm-hmm. So it's like green, you know, obviously you think for the environment, and then green for dollars, you know, because America, you know, the dollar is still kind of the number one currency in the world. So it's just like, you know, greenbacks money. So green equals green. So you go green and equals money time.
So where can people find those videos then?
The videos are on the Wrap Institute, and we're actually going to put them on our YouTube page as well. So those are going to be free on the YouTube page, and just you can just check them out and watch the videos at any time. So it's cool.
Cool. You know what to do. Watch them.
I hope so. Yeah. I mean, again, simple stuff. You don't have to, but I just think, you know, overall, it's just going to mean money and time in your pocket and just a better, healthy work experience. You know, I just think, you know, you're not inhaling all that stuff, which is critical, you know. So yeah, so that's been fun. That's been one project that we've gotten going. And then this year we launched the Wrap Institute live events, which have been awesome.
Now, what's that all about?
Again, it's one of those things where I remember a few years ago, I was lucky enough to kind of hang out with Frank Fellers. And we, you know, I spent the night at his house, and him and I were talking, you know, that night at his house. And he was just saying, you know, industry is great. And, you know, everything we do for the, you know, everything everyone does for the industry is great, but we're kind of advertising to ourselves. You know, like the general public as a whole still don't know much about wraps. Like, it's not part of their conversation where if someone has, let's say, $2,000 disposable income every month, they're not thinking, you know, I'm going to wrap my car with it. You know, that's not just part of their conversation. They're thinking TV or clothes or makeup or something like that. So, you know, he was like, how do we get the general public to be aware, or, you know, make them aware of our products? So, you know, the idea was like commercials or doing stuff like that, but you know, it nothing really happened from that. Cause that's, you know, you're relying on companies like 3M or Avery to pay for those, you know, $1 million commercials for TV or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I thought, you know what, I'm just going to start it kind of grassroots style. And I'm going to start doing these Rapids 2 live events where, you know, I celebrate local rap shops and stuff like that. And, you know, kind of help promote them, but also do a live event where people, anyone can come, the public, and they can watch a car get wrapped real time. And there's, you know, elements that, you know, kids can wrap, like hoods or cars and stuff like that, and music and food. And it's, I did one in Boise, Idaho to launch it off. And I think around 200 people came, and people sat for like 4 or 5 hours watching, you know, which was amazing. I mean, how many grown adults will sit at something for 4 or 5 hours these days, you know? And so they're really just because everyone who knows who's in our industry knows that if someone's watching something get wrapped, it's pretty amazing. It's pretty magical, you know? So I'm trying to help let the public see that you can wrap something in a matter of, you know, a few hours, and you could transform a, you know, a boring, you know, mom's car or, you know, dad's car into something that's super fun and exciting, you know. And then we did that one in Denver, and we did one at, you know, Nick's at Exotic Graphics down in Melbourne, and the huge one at Metro Wraps in Miami. That was awesome.
I've seen a couple of videos, and it looks like a party.
It is. And that's what I'm trying to convey that, you know, because rapping is kind of a party. I mean, that's the reason why we love it so much, is when you rap, it's kind of like, you know, you're doing stuff in the public, and, you know, people are into it, and it's a show, you know? So it's allowing people to kind of be part of that process. And like Bruno had DJs and, you know, Red Bull, you know, women handing Red Bulls out and stuff like that. And it was cool. And, you know, supercars were there, and it just really kind of showcased the industry. And I just did one in, you know, Montreal for, you know, distributor Poly Auto, and they had a live band and music and stuff like that. So I just like it. You know, is it something that I'm making money on? No, I don't. That's not my goal. My goal is just to really kind of, you know, again, I think it's the problem with our industry right now is it's kind of an industry in the shadows. No one really kind of, people think it's paint, or people just show up the next day and there's stuff on the wall, and they don't really understand that it's pretty magical to get it on. It's not easy to get on, you know? And I want people to see how hard it is. I want people to grab a piece of material and then try to wrap a hood and come back and be like, wow, you're really good at what you do. Because again, they don't appreciate the craft and that goes into it. You know, when you go to a rap contest, you know, at FESPA, you know, I mean, all of us installers understand when, you know, you're looking at someone in a contest, you're like, wow, they're good. And you know how good they are, but someone who's never put it on just thinks it's easy. So how do you make them appreciate what we do? Well, you show them live, you know? And I think, you know, even yesterday I just did my daughter's desks at school, you know, yeah. And the kids got, you know, that's kind of like a mini TWI live event in the sense that, you know, my daughter's teacher is super awesome, Pater. And, you know, he is into art. So I sat down with him about a month and a half ago, and I said, you know, I would love to do a project with you, be more involved with my daughter's school, because I've been traveling so much. And we're sitting in the classroom, and I was like, you know, I can get the material, you know, from a manufacturer. We can do anything in your room. We could wrap the floors. We can wrap the walls. And then I just looked down at the desk, and I was like, but we're going to wrap the desks. And he's like, perfect. You know? And so he let the kids, you know, design their own desks. You know, he came up with like a, you know, little rectangle that they could design within, and they could either make their own drawing or pull stuff off the internet and put it on. And then he sent me the files, and I had them printed up, and Orful was nice enough to sponsor the material for this, which was cool. There's, I think, 3551 RA. And, you know, then yesterday I sat down there with Mark from, who makes the, monkey strips, Mark Flexmark, you know, made those. And so we just, you know, showed the kids how to rap, and it was just, the excitement was just, I can't tell you, I can't wait to make the video.
So they got to rap themselves.
Yeah. So I, that's, you know, that was part of the project, is that they designed it and then they could install it, you know? So basically I showed up, of course I have very severe jet lag, but, you know, showed them kind of how to set up a hinge. You know, we used the Yellow Tools dual cutter to kind of cut the backing paper. And then showed them different ways to squeegee. Obviously did not let them cut. Don't want them to cut on it. But, I mean, they were into it. I mean, they're super patient. They cleaned the tables, they squeegeed, they sealed the edges and stuff like that. I mean, they were super, super into it, you know? So it just, and again, you know, within an hour and a half, their whole classroom changed, you know? And that's what I want to do with these events.
What was their reaction?
I mean, just, I keep on saying magic, but it's just, you know, it's just they felt empowered. They felt like they could, they just felt like they had their own desk. Do you know what I'm saying? And it's, I mean, what's changing in our culture now is customization. Like people want their own room. People want their own Coca-Cola can. They want their own car. You know what I'm saying? People don't want a red car. They want their own customized car. These kids, you know, they all had the same desk at 1:30 and by 3 o'clock they had their own desk. You know, that's, but again, that's what we do. And if, as an industry, if we don't push customization and getting that idea out, you know, I mean, that's what we can do. We can go into someone's house and within a day, we can put, you know, mountains on their walls or their vacation on their walls or whatever they want on their walls, and we can make their house theirs, you know, and there's a big market for that. That's just totally untapped, I think.
I agree with you.
So that's what I'm trying to do with these programs. So yeah, it's been a big year for me in the sense of, you know, the Rap Institute's growing a lot. A lot of new people putting videos on. Reiner Lortz has been a great addition in terms of his PPF and tint videos. Doing lots more design videos, really expanding the library for the Rap Institute as it expands. And working with ISA has been great for the science, that rap experience in my booth is going to be awesome.
What's that all about for all those that are outside the U.S.?
So basically what happened, I started work. I've done RapsCon for years, which is great. That's the MBM show in Long Beach and stuff like that. And then ISA approached me this year and they said, you know, would you like to have something similar to our show? But we want you to do like a kind of a contest. And I was like, I was totally open to it. So their proposal was have like a learning contest. So the idea is I have a 40 by 60 booth, which is a good size. And I have John Duver, Jimas Brazil, and Chad Parrish. And for three sessions a day, they get three students and of various levels. Most of them are total novices to intermediate. And they teach them how to wrap one object. And so then at the end of the hour and a half session, the people get tested on their knowledge of the material. So they get like 11, 12 questions to answer. And then they get judged on their scores in terms of install. And then the group winner receives prizes. You know, so, and then they, you know, the trainers switch. So like the first day will be, let's say, refrigerators and a hood and a wall. And then the trainers get a switch. So throughout the day, the trainer will do each one of those modules with different students. And then at the end of the day, the trainer is judged on how well they trained.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, it's not, you know, is not as like hardcore as like a FESPA competition because it's a learning experience for sure. But at the same time, it puts the trainers on spot of, you know, really trying to teach these people not only just how to rap, but they should also know their product. And I think, you know, what makes a good rapper is they're not just putting a sticker on a wall. They're putting a polymer calendar vinyl sticker on a wall that is, you know, you have to know your material. Because, I mean, that's one of the things that I try to push in the workshops on the Rap Institute where, if you just slap something on the same way every time, you're going to make mistakes because you don't know the limitations of the material, or you don't know the type of adhesive. You don't know whether it's a pressure sensitive vinyl or pressure activated. So if you don't know the material and it falls off the next day, whose fault is that? Well, that's yours because you didn't educate yourself. So part of this competition is having a lot of fun. That's definitely number one. But number two is just really showing what makes a good installer is one who's knowledgeable, who can wrap multiple things.
But you're also growing the business, right? You're getting more people to try it, more people to maybe take it up.
Of course. I mean, that's, you know, and also I just want to show again, kind of what we're doing with these, what I did with the desks in my daughter's school yesterday, which was for me really, truly one of the highlights of my fatherhood. But also just to show people what we can wrap. So in my booth is going to be cabinets and refrigerators and cut vinyl in a car and walls and all sorts of stuff. So it's just really, and you know, there's 81 spots to fill and 81 spots are filled. So, I mean, the fact that 81 people signed up is
that's amazing.
So, I mean, again, for me too, it's just going to be really interesting to see people who've never picked up a squeegee and see what they can do in an hour and a half, you know, and the fact that they get a free hour and a half with John Duver, Jimas Brazil, and Chad Parrish is worth its weight in gold, in my opinion. They're great installers and they're great teachers, you know?
It sounds great.
I'm excited. I mean, again, first one of its kind. So it's one, it's always scary to, you know, launch something for the first time, but it just seems like there's a lot of mojo behind it and a lot of good people supporting it. So I'm super excited. Avery's the main sponsor. I also got Master Magnetics and Master Appliance and Race Ramps part of it. So it's going to be, you know, it's just a nice open booth. You know, there's a lot of recessed doors and hoods for people to wrap on. So I'm excited. I mean, ISA Vegas is always a good experience. So yeah, lots of stuff going on. But again, you know, the Green Equals Green program for me, again, curious how it works. I mean, curious what you think. I mean, first, when you heard about it, Simon, what was your first thoughts?
My first thought was really, we need this. As an industry, if we're going to compete, if we're going to stay on top, we need to take this serious. the environment is a serious thing, and we are putting a lot of plastic out there. Plastic is not recyclable. So I usually think when we're throwing the trashes, man, it's a lot of trash.
It's crazy when you really think about it.
And
you know?
The odors from all the chemicals that we're using. And when a customer comes in and just says, oh man, it really smells here. And I do not smell it. Mm. It makes you think that, man, am I past the border or is there yet time for me to? Because just like you, I have kids and I want to live. I want them to have their dad. And it's small things that you think of sometimes, and I believe we need that in the industry. And the way you do it is it's a part of it. And other people will probably take it up and we'll get a movement, hopefully, out of it.
I hope so, too. And I mean, whether it's this program or not, at least I'm trying to get the ball rolling. And other manufacturers are doing it. It's not like, you know, I think what 3M has been trying to do for years, or Oriful, or, you know, companies like 3M or Avery. I mean, it's just, you know, it's out there, but it's just not getting traction. I hope to get more traction with this, you know? Yeah, because, I mean, dude, your kids must, when you get home, they must smell your T-shirt and be like, oh, this is what Papa smells like. He's home from work.
Yeah, but yeah, it's frightening, but at the same time, it's something we need to take care of. We need to start somewhere, or we need to get traction, like you said.
Yeah, and I mean, when I first did it last week or a week and a half ago, we put it on social media, one of the comments online was just like, yeah, but what about the plastic in the ocean? And I was just like, well, I can't do anything, you know. I can't do anything about that. And I get that, but I can at least help maybe reduce what goes in the landfill. And if what goes in the landfill hopefully is PVC free and is better for the environment, or maybe people are using different inks, or maybe they dispose of the inks differently. I mean, people are still disposing of the inks and putting it right in the dumpster. And that's terrible for the environment. You know, I mean, if that solvent ink is going to burn right through your printer, what is it going to do to the environment once it gets in the water system? You know, but again, I'm not trying to be like super alarmist or freak out, but I mean, it is an industry which I think you can make incremental changes in your wrap shop, which will make a dramatic difference in how the environment is handled. And will that, hopefully the manufacturers at some point will make their backing paper so that it's recyclable. I mean, that for me is probably the biggest change that could happen in the industry.
What's the worst case scenario? You try it and it doesn't work. You try it, it works, you save money, you earn more money. I mean, it's win-win.
Yeah. I mean, that's, again, I'm not trying to overhaul an entire shop. It's just, you know, just change a couple tweaks here, just have a, you know, recycle this or recycle that, and don't just, because again, you know how to, I mean, even simple, I mean, even it's totally not even related to green equals green, but how many times have you wrapped a door handle on your knees on concrete? Probably a lot, because you just kind of are in your zone and you just get on your knees on concrete when you could take 2 seconds to go over and grab a mat or a chair and sit in a chair or on a mat on your knees, and that's better for you at the end of the day. But people don't think that because you have your habits. But so what I'm saying is just take 2 seconds and change it different. And that's what Michael does at Yellow Tools. I mean, everything that he did at his shop, if you watch that video, these are incremental tool changes that he made in his shop that, you know, once you put them all together over a course of a year, then you have a different ballgame. You know what I'm saying? So that's all I'm trying to say is, again, you know, I'm not trying to preach or do anything like that. I'm just trying to say I'm in a unique position because I've been able to travel the world for the last 4 or 5 years. And I've seen a lot of shops and a lot of different ways people do things. And I can say, well, this combines a lot of great things that people are doing across the world, and also seeing a lot of bad things and trying to neutralize that with a different protocol. That's it. You know? So I hope it works.
Sounds simple.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, I don't know if it's too early to announce, but you and I just had a meeting earlier about maybe doing a Wrap and Suit Live event at your space.
That's right. That's right.
So I hope that we can make that happen, because I mean, I would love to do that up at your place. It'd be cool.
That would be awesome. I think somehow, some way, we will find a way, I guess.
Which would be cool. It'd be a great honor. So again, I really admire what you've done with your pod. The Wrap Pod is awesome, and great work.
Thank you. I think the same way you do. It's try to help the industry in best way you can, and you try to do your best, and maybe someone hears something and takes it forward and it brings fortune for them. I don't know. But if we all help a little bit, we might move mountains.
I hope so. I think that's the thing. I mean, I think, you know, Barack Obama, whether you like him or not, he just said, you know, they said, what did you feel like you did in your presidency over 8 years? And he's like, I moved the ship 4 inches, you know? So, you know, are you going to be able to move a mountain by yourself? No, but you can kind of shift it. And I think, you know, with what we do with helping me people, with you educating people through the, you know, the Rap Pod and me through the Rap Institute, I just hope that we're bringing more money and time into people's lives. You know, that's my goal.
All right, Justin, I know you're a busy man. I'm not going to hold more of your time. I am going to let you be off with your family. I know you're at the moment trying to enjoy them as much as possible before you start traveling again.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm actually going to pick my daughter up with my wife. We're going to walk to school together, a little date. So it's very exciting.
Enjoy the walk, my man.
Thanks, man. Appreciate your time as always, Simon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yep.